Good morning. You know, I love the church. And I grew up in the church. And it's an interesting thing being the national director of church planting for our ministry, which means I have this opportunity to mingle domestically and internationally now with what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in the church. And it's interesting here in the United States that the church is not well received by our culture. The church is statistically a dying institution on the negative end. I would say an organism. It's alive. It is the people of God. But I grew up in the church. I came to faith in the church. I love the church. Growing up, grandmas used to pinch my little cheeks, you know, and the pastor would kind of always correct me because I was a real squirmy, active little guy. And I remember in Sunday school class, we were taught this little thing about the church. I'm not sure do you remember this? When you would take your hands like this, and this is for all us old timers. So you young people, learn something here. This is the church. This is the steeple. Here's the doors. Open the doors, and here are the people. Now, that was fascinating to me as a kid. I would go home, and I would just do that all the time. But we know that the church is more than some doors and a steeple and these beautiful windows. We know that. Cyprian was an early Christian theologian and bishop to Carthage. This is way back in the day. And he said this about the church. He said, "No one can have God for his father." No one. No one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. Now think about that for a second. If someone in the United States, and I hear this quite a bit, "Oh, I love God, but I could do without the church." That's wrong, poor, inaccurate theology. It is not what the scripture teaches. I for the last 40 years, my life has been in the city. I have lived, my family has lived in some very rough, hard neighborhoods. In the city or in the hood, you know how they would say this statement? They would say it like this. If the church ain't your mama, God ain't your daddy. Now that's good theology. But we all know that the church isn't perfect. Except for this church, right? Overseas Christian Missions Grace Church is a perfect church. Oh, some of you are actually saying, yeah. Well, yes, in some ways. But I like this statement. The church is like Noah's Ark. If it weren't for the rain outside, we couldn't stand the funk on the inside. See, the church is the bride of Christ. And the kingdom of darkness, we know that Satan, who is real, a created being who has fallen from the grace of the Almighty, we know that him and his kingdom, he hates the bride. He hates the church. He hates OCM Grace Church. He hates it with a passion. We don't like to talk about it, but we need to be reminded about this. Things are semi-nice, but there is an enemy that is out to destroy the bride of Christ. His hatred and wrath know no boundaries. He's not limited. For he is well aware of who the church is. In fact, he is more aware of it, I would say, than you or I. But let me share a couple points about who the church is. First of all, the church is an outpost of the kingdom of God. God's rule and reign is right here. And you are an outpost, literally, in what C.S. Lewis would say is enemy-occupied territory. That's what this world is. And you, OCM, Grace, is an outpost of God's kingdom here in your community. You provide protection from this church. You are a group of the disciples who have been deployed here to represent Christ and to literally guard against the kingdom of darkness's movement in this area. So you're an outpost of the kingdom. The second thing, you are an agent of God's kingdom witness. The church is the only agent in this world that demonstrates submission to the redemptive rule and reign of God and his kingdom. You are the only ones who will witness this. There is no, it's not governments, it's not the local school, it's not the community center. It is OCM. It is the church wherever she is in a locale. She is God's kingdom witness. Third thing is you, this church, is the pillar and the foundation of truth. You defend the great tradition, our sacred roots. You read the Apostles' Creed this morning. That is what the church, in that little statement, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, what the early church fathers, leaders, before there were denominations, they gathered together and they put it in a simple creed so that people can memorize this. But that is what the church, since that time, since the apostles passed on to the church to this present day, that is what the church has believed everywhere, always, and by all. Doesn't matter where you go. You can go into the inner city. You can go into a slum where a church, a small little group of believers are. And if you looked at them and said the Apostles' Creed, they would look at you and say, yeah, I believe that. You are the pillar and foundation of truth. The fourth thing about the church, about OCM, you are a sign of God's covenant faithfulness. God's faithfulness, God's covenant, a one-way covenant. Doesn't matter what you do, I'm doing this. It's the story of the one true God redeeming and reconciling his enemies. We were once enemies with God, and he brings us to himself because of his abounding love, grace, and mercy. You are a sign of God's covenant faithfulness. The church is also a foretaste of God's kingdom blessing. Just a foretaste. You know, when I was growing up, I loved Rice-A-Roni. You guys know what Rice-A-Roni is? All right, yes. That is some awesome rice. And I would come home and I would walk through the door and I could smell that Rice-A-Roni. And I'd try to sneak into the kitchen. And I don't know how moms do it, but they seem to be everywhere at all places at all times. Because I would look around. I swear I could not see her. I would grab a little spoon and dip it in that Rice-A-Roni. And all of a sudden, behind me, bam! Don't you touch that Rice-A-Roni. That's for supper tonight. But then out of her kindness and love, she would take a little bit of the Rice-A-Roni and give me a foretaste. Just a little taste. Just to get me looking forward to the feast at the dinner table. The church is a foretaste of God's kingdom blessing. We will one day never get sick, but now we get sick. We will one day never die, but if the Lord tarries, for many years, some of us will die unless he takes us into his presence in the rapture. We just get a foretaste, but here's some of the other things of what this foretaste of the kingdom blessing is in this church. We have peace with God rather than his wrath. We are cleansed from sin and unrighteousness. We have been rescued and delivered from the bondage of the kingdom of darkness. We have been redeemed and forgiven. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. The nature of God is imparted into us. The image of Christ is recreated in us. We are made a child, a son or daughter of the Most High. We receive the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that we can live a life of true discipleship. The church is also the co-heir of God's exalted King, Jesus Christ. Romans says, now, if we are children, which is what we are, we've been adopted, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. As his children, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for us. That is OCM. You are a church, a co-heir of God's exalted King. The church is a steward, a custodian of the power of God. There is only one power in this world, and that is the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. I'm a Gentile. You're a Gentile. There's two camps, Jews and Gentiles. And if you come to believing faith in Christ because of the power of God, you become a part of the community of believers, a church. The church is the only one who has this power. If the church fails, if you fail to let loose, you have been given the keys of the kingdom of God. A key is to either lock something or to open something. Keys represent authority. I don't give my key. When my kids were really young, I did not give them keys to the house. I did not at that point trust them. Once I gave it to them, they had authority to go in and out. A church has been given the keys of the power of God. If you close your mouth to the gospel, that's like locking the door. But if you open your mouth and proclaim good news, the power of God is able to work. You can't change anybody. You cannot rescue anybody. Only God can. But God has given OCM and the church at large the keys to the kingdom to let loose or to bind. And then last of all, the church is the church militant. Now, I'm not a warmonger by any means. Please, I do not like war, but there is a theme woven throughout scripture from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation that in fact, in Exodus, it says that the Lord is a man of war. Now we cannot pick out the passages of scripture that we like. Yes, he came as a shepherd, as a lamb to be slain. But don't be mistaken. He's a warrior. He has done battle against the forces of darkness and has won the victory. He's the one who's rescued. Jesus is not who you imagine him to be, but who he declares himself to be. Most of the world imagine Jesus as either fluffy, simple, a prophet, a man of good words, maybe did some good things. But that's not who he declared himself to be. I am Christus Victor. I have beaten any kind of force of darkness. I am the champion of all time. And the church becomes the church militant. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The church is the end game in town. Oversee Chinese Mission Grace Church. You are it. And I am confident in you. I am confident in the church, even though the culture may not think highly of the church. We know that the forces of darkness think very highly of the church for those reasons I just mentioned. You are the community of the kingdom, but you are never the kingdom itself. The kingdom is God's reign and the realm in which the blessings of his reign are experienced. The church is the fellowship of those who have experienced God's rule and reign and entered into the enjoyment of its blessings. The kingdom creates the church, works through the church, and is proclaimed in the world by the church. I ended these little descriptive words of who you are, who the church is here and around the world, with that last little truth that the church is the church militant. And the reason I ended, or as I thought about that, is because I just want to remind us of a bigger cosmic picture. Because when we go through life, and rightly so, we work, we have family, we have struggles, we get sick, family members get sick, cars break down, gotta make food, gotta buy. We just go through life. But it is a good reminder for me to remind all of us that there is a bigger cosmic battle taking place. And so let me just remind us of this real briefly. There are two kingdoms in conflict. There is the kingdom of God, and there is the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is ruled by the creator of all things, God himself. The kingdom of darkness, even after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, who now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and will one day burst through the clouds and bring his bride, his church, into his presence, even after that cross and that resurrection, he is still called the Prince of the Power of the Air. He is also known in Corinthians, the God of this age. And that is a small g, my friend, and I think we know that. There is only one big God, God the Almighty. But he is who he is, and he has a kingdom. Both these kingdoms have the same purpose, I believe. And that is to rule and to reign. And we see it. We see it. We read it. We listen to it. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, the prince of the power of the air, he said to Jesus, he says, I'll give you all of this. In other words, he has it, or else he couldn't give it. He says, I look over all of this, Jesus. I'll give you all this if you relinquish your rule and reign and worship me. Now, I got a little imagination. I believe Jesus was just rolling. You gotta be kidding. I created you and you think that I'm going to worship you, give up the rule and reign? No way. We worship the Lord our God and Him only. But that is the purpose of both kingdoms. God Himself wants to rule and reign, and we know in Revelation how it ends. And the kingdoms of this world will, not maybe, will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will rule and reign forever and ever. But that is the purpose of both kingdoms. Here's the priority of both kingdoms, and I believe the priority is the same as well. The priority of both kingdoms is souls. Souls are eternal. This flesh and blood, I kind of like the way I look. Confident. Could use a little bit more hair, but you know, that just comes with age. But this is nothing. This will go one day. It will go as the Old Testament prophets used to say, will go the way of the earth. We will go from dust into dust. But the soul remains forever. It will never, ever, ever, ever die. It just lives. God breathed into man soul, nephesh, I believe is the Hebrew word. Satan wants to retain souls. We know scripturally, we are kingdom people here in this church. And as kingdom people, we know that all have sinned and fallen short. That cute little baby that enters the world was born with a sin nature. And Satan wants to keep those souls, and God wants to rescue and liberate souls. And that goes back to the gospel. There's only one power that can rescue, redeem, set free, and transfer from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son in whom He loves. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Both want souls. Souls are the currency of the galaxies. And both kingdoms are vying for them. Last of all, if the purpose of each kingdom is to rule and to reign, and the priority in that ruling and reigning is the souls of people, what is the plan of each kingdom? One to retain the souls and one to set the souls free. I already mentioned how God works. Satan, according to 2 Corinthians, wants to blind and close up the hearts and the minds and the spirits of those to the gospel. That's all he's trying to do. And so in closing, which leads me to my verse, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I love the church. The church is an amazing gathering of disciples in a community. And that has been given a task. The early church focused around four things of a church. Your theology. So here, you know, you say the Apostles' Creed. But you're to defend, again, what the church has believed everywhere, always, and by all. The church also does worship. Worship and song and praise, the Lord's Supper, to remember what Christ has done. That's worship. And all its other various forms. The church is for spiritual formation. So Bible study groups, growing, Sunday school classes. Man, we want our children to grow up to love the Lord. And as we even get older, there's always something new to learn. We're always being spiritually formed. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Paul constantly wrote that little phrase to the churches. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And then last of all, which is the verse, is to witness. You are to be a witness. Let me, in closing, restate this, the Great Commission, probably in a way that is more in alignment with the Greek phraseology or the Greek words that were used. And let me see if I can find it. I'm going to close with this. Yeah, here it is. As you're going through the routine of your life, wherever that is, your workplace, the neighborhood you live, the places you visit and hang out, in these places, enthuse others about me. Don't ever stop. Keep at it to the very end. Disciple them by baptizing and teaching them everything I've commanded you. I am the Lord, and I'll be with you in your going, your baptizing, your teaching, until it's all said and done. That is the witness of OCM. You are a powerful entity, a representative of the King and his kingdom in this community. May the Lord bless you.